Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor Lacaine. We know that too many elected officials are working for the special interest, not the public interest. Too often the millionaires and billionaires make out like bandits, while the middle class and working people get left out and left behind. Moreover, things we take for granted in the United States, like freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and the rule of law, are under serious attack. We urgently need new leaders in government at all levels to stand up for we the people, so we have a government that works for all of us. The soul of our country is at stake. Fortunately, progressives are hearing the call to serve and are running for office in record numbers. With us today are two guests who are deeply committed to bringing new ideas and new people to government. Our first guest is training people to run for elected office, many for the first time. Our second guest ran for office herself for state representative in Virginia, and she got exactly the same number of votes as the incumbent. If you ever thought your vote doesn't matter, stay tuned to hear Shelley Simons talk about the importance of every vote. First up is Lucy Alina, candidate trainer with the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. Lucy Alina, welcome to All Together Now.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be on.
Yes, well, you know, you are the candidate trainer for the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. For listeners who might not have heard of the group, what is the Progressive Change Campaign Committee?
Yes, absolutely. So I am the National Training Director for the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, and we're a grassroots progressive organization that endorses a select number of candidates every cycle. And since we were founded in 2009, we've actually raised over $26 million for progressive candidates and committees, all through small dollar contributions. And we actually have over 1 million members nationwide. And so the work that we do is to make sure that our members' voices are heard by their elected officials, and especially in Congress and state legislatures across the country.
That's awesome. And your role within this group is to do the training. So what kind of training do you offer to people who want to run for office?
Yes, we offer a whole host of training opportunities throughout the year. The biggest event that we put on is our national candidate training, which we put on once a year. And we bring together hundreds of progressive candidates from all across the country for 4 days of intense training. So they learn everything from how to look good on television, to find donors, to design websites. And we really work with them to develop a message around progressive economic priorities. So when they go back out to run in their communities, they're running as strong progressives.
Yes, and you just recently had your 4-day candidate training in Washington, D.C., which I was delighted to attend. I was very impressed. And if someone is listening and wants to run for office or knows someone who might, I highly recommend the Progressive Change Campaign Committee National Candidate Training. It was really from soup to nuts, like you said, looking good on TV and helping with the website, get your picture taken, raising money, building your team. You really kind of covered the gamut from soup to nuts on what a candidate needs to do, right?
Yeah, that is the goal. We work very hard to identify progressive candidates who are serious about running in the next year or two. And I think one of the things that sets our training apart is that we're really focused on teaching them how to run and win as progressives, but also giving them all of the tools that they need to actually run successful races. Too often in down ballot races, great progressive candidates are left floundering without the support that they need to run great campaigns.
Right. And for our listeners who might not be familiar with it, down ballot means, you know, not the top of the thing, you know, the key races like president or governor or U.S. senator. But there's thousands and tens of thousands of elected offices all across the country. Really, you know, every year there's some election for some offices. And those are much easier to run and win for. But what you're saying is most of the groups that do trainings focus on, say, congressional candidates, whereas the people who are running more for the state and local have fewer resources to help them. Is that right?
That is absolutely true. When you're running for a state legislative race or a local race like city council, school board, there aren't always the resources that you need. So some of the things that we will provide candidates are a logo done by a professional graphic designer. We'll actually take headshots at the training that they can use in their materials, and we help them get their campaign websites up and running. And the training and support that we provide doesn't just stop as soon as the training is over. We continue to run training webinars throughout the year. We have experts providing fundraising tips. We do endorsements ourselves. We're planning on doing 500 state and local endorsements this cycle alone to really lift up those candidates that are running in those races that we absolutely need to win to take back our country in the Trump era.
That sounds great. And do you work with congressional candidates at all, or are you really kind of focus on the state and local candidates?
We do. We do work with congressional candidates as well. For this particular training, we were really focused on providing support to, as I was saying, down ballot candidates. Earlier this year, we ran a separate training, our advanced candidate training, and brought together a set of 30 congressional and statewide candidates with a tailored curriculum that was better suited for people who are running in races of that magnitude. Because realistically speaking, a campaign when you're running for Congress looks a lot different than a campaign running for school board, not just in terms of resources, but how you actually go about running and winning in the first place.
Well, that's impressive that you're giving that amount of support to people, because I've talked to a lot of these candidates, and many of them have never been involved in a campaign before. So, I mean, not even as a volunteer or helping out, but they said, you know, my country needs me, my community needs me, I'm stepping up, I'm going to run. So the kind of training and support and information and guidance that you give is really invaluable.
Yes, and I think one of the things that really sets our trainings apart is the candidates themselves. I know you're going to be joined by Shelley in a few minutes, so she'll be able to tell her story, but her story is just one of many. Many of these candidates have really personal stakes in political issues that have driven them to run out of necessity. So they've gone from marching in the streets earlier this year to putting their names on the ballot in November to make sure that their voices are actually heard in government. So it's really a new class of candidates. And in my mind, it's really their act of resistance in making the decision to run for office. For example, one of our attendees had brain cancer, and he actually decided to run for office because his member of Congress was threatening to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And you just hear stories like that every single day.
Yeah, it's very powerful what's motivating people to step up now. I'm really inspired as an American to see so many of my fellow Americans really stepping up into leadership roles to try and help our country now. And so you've done two of these national candidate trainings this year already. What would you say were maybe the top two or three highlights from the candidate training?
Well, I think that one of the biggest highlights to me speaks to what you were just talking about, this idea that more and more people are throwing their hat in the ring and running for office. We ran our first national candidate training in 2015. We had 150 candidates, and we had to work really hard to find those folks. This year, we had 450 spots. We had thousands of candidates apply to attend, and ultimately, we filled every single slot with great progressive candidates running all across the country. And so to me, just seeing that level of engagement is incredibly inspiring. I think the biggest highlight hopefully will come on Election Day. Our last national candidate training resulted in 80 winning alumni who now hold elected office, including 35 first-time candidates. So as we scale up, we're going to be seeing more and more of these progressive leaders running and winning and actually serving in office and representing the people.
Well, that's great. I love your focus on results, because that's what we need, is people to win. And that's really,
absolutely.
You know, it's important to run and to carry a message and it's more important to win, so you actually get to implement the programs that you're talking about. So if you had thousands of people applying for 450 seats at this candidate training, how did you decide who was admitted and who got to go in and who didn't? Do you have requirements on where the people stand on issues? Do you have requirements on viability? Or what do you use to sort out the people that you take in?
Yes, that is a good question. Our process for vetting candidates is incredibly time intensive. I think it's probably the biggest lift in terms of putting together an event like this is doing the vetting of candidates. I think the number one thing we're looking for is that they identify as a progressive and that they are already a leader in their community and that they really truly represent working families. We don't have a litmus test in terms of a set of issues that you need to check off, which we do for our endorsements, but we hold off on doing that for this training because we know we have candidates who are running for everything from school board to Congress, and the issues that they're actually going to face once they're serving in office, the issues that they're going to govern on are just drastically different. What we're really looking for is their story. We're excited about candidates like Katie Muth. She is a candidate running for state senate in Pennsylvania in District 44. She's a professor. She's the chair of her local Indivisible group. She founded it and grew it out, and she decided that she was going to run for office to take her passion to that level. And she really has deep personal ties to the issues. So she really is a messenger that's part of the message. Implementing policies to support working women is a central part of her campaign, and it stems from her personal experience. She makes about half of what her husband does in the same occupation, so the gender pay gap is one of the issues that's really high on her priority list. And so this is just one example of one candidate at the training, but we have an application. We do interviews, sometimes multiple interviews with candidates, to really get a sense of who they are, what makes them tick, and do we actually think they have a path to victory and are going to fight for working families, everyday Americans, once they're in office.
Right. That sounds great. Well, that's all very sensible, and you hope they have a path to victory if they're getting in. So what happens now, like, say there's a candidate listener or someone listening now who wants to run or is running. Do you have another training, or you've done two already, so maybe you're done for the year, but when's your next training? And if there's someone who wants to run now, is there any kind of support that you can still offer?
Absolutely. If someone's running for office right now, I would encourage them to go to our website. It's www.boldprogressives.org. And on there, you'll see a button that says candidates. You click there and you can find all of the resources that we're offering to candidates as they move forward in their campaigns. And it ranges from monthly webinars on different topics to train them on the skills they need, depending on what part of the cycle they're in. For example, we do a training on getting out the vote about 2 months before Election Day, such that candidates are ready and have wrapped their minds around it as they go into it. We also do endorsements. We'll fundraise on the behalf of candidates that we support. We actually offer software to help candidates design their own campaign websites, and that's something we're particularly proud of. At 3CCC, we're really focused on figuring out ways that we can provide scalable support to candidates who are running all across the country. And unfortunately, this year, we're not going to run another national candidate training. We do only one a year, but We are going to run one in the spring of 2019. And any candidate listening in can go to www.nationalcandidatetraining.com to fill out our application and throw their name in the hat.
Excellent. Well, I'm so happy you're doing this for progressives running for office. And you mentioned one of the most important things you looked for was the story of the person running, because, you know, partly that would mean they're clear about who they are and why they're running, and they're going to be able to communicate that clearly to the voters. What were some of the stories that you heard from the candidates who came to your two trainings this year that really moved and inspired you?
Oh, that is a tough question because there are so many. I'll pick out a couple. First of all, Shelley, who will be on your show in a minute, has an incredible story, and I'm very excited that your listeners are going to get to hear from her. Another candidate that really stuck out in my mind was Cindy Ralston. She's an Oklahoma public school teacher, and she's running for Oklahoma State House after her legislator trivialized the teacher strike that they had there earlier this year. And I think one of the magical things about our training is that it's not just a training, it's also a convergence. We work very hard to have candidates not only develop relationships with us, but to develop relationships with our allies and with other candidates. And one of the kind of magical things that I saw happen at our last national candidate training was we had a set of teachers from Oklahoma and candidates, some of whom were teachers who had participated in the state's wave of strikes. They were meeting in between sessions to talk about what it would look like to create a national organizing force for teacher candidates. We have organizations that do that to promote veterans, but there isn't one right now for teachers, in particular public school teachers. And so those are the kinds of stories that really inspire me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I'm so excited you've helped all the people who in your two national trainings already this year, and that you're still open to helping other progressives who are running. I actually have a friend who's running for school board here in Washington, D.C., Emily Gasoy, who's a really great teacher. And I'm going to tell her to get in touch with you all because she's never been in a campaign before, and I'm sure you can help her a lot. So you mentioned the focus more on the kind of the state and local, maybe the smaller races, more so than for Congress. It's interesting to me because it just feels like such a critical moment in our country to elect progressives to Congress as a check and balance on this authoritarian and very dangerous occupant of the White House. So why did you decide to focus on those down ballot races?
Yes. Well, I'll say first, our advanced candidate training gave us an opportunity to provide some of those resources to congressional candidates. I completely agree with you. We can't stay away from that. I think the reason that we ultimately decided to focus on down ballot candidates is because these folks don't often have the support that they need. But more importantly, yes, of course, we need to take back the House and the Senate. But we also need to invest in taking back state legislatures and building a pipeline of progressive leaders from the ground up. And that work takes years. We need good progressives governing in school boards. We need them on city councils. We need them in state legislatures. And unfortunately, in our national news cycle, you often don't get to see these candidates. But these are the folks who are making real decisions about everyday American lives. And we need good people in those spots. And so with all of this energy surrounding the resistance and all of these people deciding to get off the bench and run for the first time, we wanted to make sure that we were helping these people build the infrastructure that they need to win.
That's fantastic. And so often when someone is running, you know, it's so much better to run for a seat that you actually have a shot at winning. And it's amazing how easy it can be to win a seat in the state legislature. You know, part of what's been happening is candidates, incumbents are in there, and they haven't been challenged in years, even decades. So as soon as the voters have a chance for someone who's an attractive candidate as someone they could vote for, you know, boom, the new person is running and winning. And we've seen it this year in elections, starting really last November in Virginia, and where there were so many first-time people ran and won in the state legislature. It's just, I think, a great time where the wind is under the wings of the people who are bringing new blood, new energy, new ideas into the state races.
Yes, I agree. I think even more importantly, we have this wave of energy, people who are deciding to run for the first time. But I think the other thing that we're seeing is that these people can actually run and win as bold progressives. There's been some debate in the Democratic Party about what candidates to run, and the establishment often supports more centrist Democrats. But what we're seeing is that the economic populist priorities are the way to campaign in these districts. The average American, they don't care about corporate tax credits when they're up and worried about how they're going to pay for their medical treatments at night. So we need to keep pushing our party to represent these everyday Americans. And I think we have a real opportunity to do that in these state legislative and local races this year.
Right, exactly. Well, what kind of messaging are you encouraging your candidates to carry? As I know, I ran into my friend Linda Lake, who's one of the top pollsters for progressives in the country. I ran into her at your candidate training, and I asked her what she thought, given her knowledge of polling, what she thought it would take for more progressives to win in November. And she said, a focus on economic message. Do you agree with that? And what kind of messaging are you suggesting to your candidates that you're supporting?
Absolutely. Well, first off, I completely agree with Linda Lake that we need to be focused on economic messaging. To me, the top campaign issues of 2018 are kitchen table economic populist issues. So things like Medicare for All, expanding Medicaid, creating millions of infrastructure jobs through bold investment, expanding Social Security benefits, debt-free college. And I really think that the center of gravity in American politics is shifting to be a more bold, progressive, economic, populist message. To us, we often refer to it as the Elizabeth Warren style set of issues. And they're absolutely on the rise. They are considered mainstream now. Many of these issues, like debt-free college, weren't even being talked about just 5 or 6 years ago. And unfortunately, many of the candidates who've come to our national candidate training or we support in other ways have said that they've been encouraged to adopt more moderate positions. But we see through polling of swing districts and data coming from Linda Lake herself that candidates actually can run and win if they focus on these economic populist issues. So I absolutely agree with her, and I think that's one of the most important things that we want candidates to learn coming out of our training sessions.
That's really great. And it's interesting you call it the Elizabeth Warren style with the focus on the economic messaging. I'm a big supporter of Elizabeth Warren. I actually went back to my home state of Massachusetts to work on her campaign. Proud to say that one out of every five of her votes came out of my Get Out the Vote team. So she's been such a wonderful addition to the conversation politically and to the votes, and what a leader. Talk about economic messaging that we need to hear and the voting and leadership to stand up for the middle class and working people in Congress. She's been awesome. And I know Senator Warren has spoken very highly of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, of being with her from day one.
Yes, we were definitely all in on day one for Elizabeth Warren, encouraged her to run for Senate in 2012. We actually raised over $1 million through over 70,000 small dollar donations for her race. And we were really proud to do that because we think she is exactly the type of leader we need to see in the Senate. And we invite her back every year to speak at our national candidate training because she does an amazing job of inspiring people to talk about these issues, to rally behind them, and use that as their rallying cry.
Right, exactly. And do you think she's going to run for president in 2020?
All bets are off. You'd have to ask her. But I know that we'd be really excited to see that happen.
Yeah. Well, we have races right in front of us now that really command our attention for what the next 6 months we've got. And what kind of impact do you think it's going to have with having so many progressives running for office this year?
Oh, endless. I think one of the statistics that stood out in my mind from our past national candidate training, 70% of the candidates that we had there were running in 2018, and 64% of them were running in districts that Trump won in 2016. And I think part of the reason we're seeing that is these are people who are realizing that their communities need to be changed, and they need new leadership that reflects their values. And I think that come election day, we're going to see a lot of these candidates win their races and go on to change and shape policies in their communities to make life better for everyday working families.
Absolutely right. And then the other piece, of course, that matters with the state candidates is we've got the gerrymandering problem where the districts are drawn up in a, you know, every 10 years, and they're currently drawn up in a way that's heavily favorable to the Republicans. So if we can get more support in the state legislators, get progressives in there, get some progressive governors even, then we'll be able to redraw the districts in a way next time that happens that are more favorable to progressives.
Absolutely. We actually are announcing in the next 24 hours a series of gubernatorial endorsements for that exact reason. I think it's important to have progressive governors serving, especially as we look to redistricting in 2020.
Yep. And have you put your wonderful candidate training onto video at all to make it more available for, the people who couldn't make it to the D.C. training but still want to learn? Or do you kind of keep that guarded and just have it directed so you make sure it goes to the people who are true progressives?
Well, we don't have it recorded and shared, but not because we want to keep it private. We actually decided to run a monthly webinar series this year to take sections of the trainings that we run at our national candidate training and make them broadly available so that any candidate running anywhere can just sign up and partake. I think the problem that you face with recording the national candidate training and trying to share it that way is that so much of the magic is about who you meet at these trainings and the relationships that you build. And we were incredibly excited to run this training in support and partnership with several other organizations. Our lead partner, Our Revolution, helped provide trainers, candidates, funds, other partners like Planned Parenthood, NARAL, SEIU, NEA, the Sierra Club, I mean, many others. And all of these organizations send representatives to our training so that they have an opportunity to meet the candidates that are running. So unfortunately, some of the magic, you just have to be there in person. But we are looking at expanding in the future. We're considering running a 1,000-person training in 2019 to try to meet the capacity, the demand that we're seeing out there.
That's fantastic. And you're right, it is magic being there. And one of the highlights for me at your candidate training was watching Joel Silberman, who is a real master at communications and media, to do many sessions helping the candidates get on camera, get clear about what they were saying, how to say it succinctly, how to have a presence when you're being interviewed by the media. He was just a master at work, and it was so exciting to watch the people kind of come up a little bit kind of raw material, and then with just a few minutes coaching by Joel Silberman, they became like these master communicators. So I don't know how you would do that on a webinar, but that was just an awesome contribution to your candidates.
Exactly. First of all, Joel Silberman, I cannot sing his praises enough. We are so lucky to have him come back every year to train at our national candidate training. And you're absolutely right. It is hard to capture that style of training. So not only are we really focused on the nuts and bolts, we're also focused on learning by doing. So as you saw in Joel's session, where he invited candidates up to deliver their stump speech, he gives them real-time feedback and has them go again. All of our sessions operate in a similar fashion. So like, for example, our training on earning media endorsements, we actually have candidates fill out an endorsement questionnaire, pair up, and practice answering tough questions as if they were sitting in front of an editorial board. We also have them do things like practice pitch calls to reporters on getting their campaign covered. So we really want them to go back to their campaigns armed with tools and skills that they've had a chance to actually develop. And unfortunately, things like that are hard to teach over a webinar.
Yeah. Well, we could go on. This is amazing. I love the work you're doing, but that's all the time we have. Lucy Alina with the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, thank you for being on All Together Now and for all your great work.